everyone. We are here with the 22nd episode of our podcast, The World of Heritage. We started this podcast as our study project for the Queering the Narratives course organized by our lecturer, Mrs. Caitlin Williams, aiming to talk with the BTU Heritage community. However, after the semester ended, we decided to keep the talks going because of your amazing feedback. Therefore, we continue with having a new guest today talking about her story. Hello and welcome, Farzaneh Farahani.
Introduction about Farzaneh. Farzaneh is from Tehran, Iran. She is in her fourth semester of World Heritage Studies. She did her bachelor in tourism management and her first master also in tourism management and marketing from Allama Tabatabai University in Tehran. While studying, she was working in the tourism industry for almost 6 years as an outbound tour guide and tour operator. And she has further gained knowledge in the marketing and pricing for inbound tours, mostly from China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan. Through these years, she lived and traveled in different countries and worked in different destinations such as Singapore, South Korea, Turkey, Russia, and India. However, after some time on the road, she felt the need to extend her academic path and study World Heritage Studies at the BTU. She has done some volunteer projects as well, the latest one working for the Heritage Volunteers Program in Weimar and as a coordinator in Mainz-Stockheim, Bayern.
Hi, Farzaneh. Happy to see you again and thanks for joining us for today's talk.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for your invitation for this amazing podcast.
In the first round of the questions, we would like to learn more about your background. Why did you decide to study tourism for your bachelor and also later your master?
Actually, starting studying tourism, it was like somehow random because I was like 8 years old teenager or like young adult that I hadn't any idea what I want to do for the future. So I studied natural sciences at high school. So I supposed to be like somehow dentist, genetic specialist or something like this. And after university entrance exam, I had like three options of, I was accepted in three different majors, like genetic and midwifery in private universities in Tehran, while I was also accepted for tourism management in a town far from Tehran, which was like 700 kilometers far from Tehran in northwest between the Caspian Sea and mountains. The name is Ardabil. While the local language is like different from Tehran, they speak Azerbaijani. And like it was my first experience to be far from home. So I really hadn't any idea what I want to go to do. So I just talked to some of my close teachers, high school teachers who already know my characters. And they suggested me, yeah, according to your character, it's like tourism. Tourism management is like has a nice future. And and also you can be successful in it. Yeah, according to character, it's like more better for you. So that time also tourism management was so new in Iran and there were not many universities offering the course.
Very interesting. I didn't know that you've been through many selections of the majors. So then you ended to choose to be a tourist guide. How did you start to get to that direction? And were you working as both inbound and outbound as a tourist guide?
I really like to do something practical in my field because many people were like making it down and say, okay, what is tourism? Is it archaeology? Is it history? And like I was so down from some people, but my family, they were fully supported me and said, yes, if you like something, do it and go on. So I just see an advertisement of being a tourist guide in Turkey. And I was wondering, how can I go and work abroad? It was my first experience and I really liked to do it. And I got, I had done the interview. And so I was accepted. That time I couldn't speak Turkish at all. I just couldn't speak English, but it was enough. And then I was interested in this job. So when I came back to Iran after the season, I got the tourist guide certificate from a related organization in Iran. And then I started like steps by step, different destination. For example, for Russia, my second market that I worked, I had very, very intensive course. In Iran, that it was like 4 months, 5 months almost every day, many hours about architecture, about history, about tour operating and many other courses with very, very long test at the end. It was like 5 hours just writing papers. I don't know, 10 pages or more. I just had to write to pass the exam finally. So just also other markets or other destinations, somehow similar, it happened to me. Also for inbound tours, I was like mostly tour operator for inbound tours, mostly from China. Also my master thesis, I worked with China. And like I had some like one day tours in Tehran, exploring with like Austrian groups, Chinese groups from Hong Kong. Yeah.
That sounds so interesting. Very well done. What was your best tour and destination you traveled to so far?
I think all of the destinations that I traveled or I worked, they are like very, very interesting. And all of them, they have many amazing culture, nature, people. And I cannot say which one was the best destination, but I really like all of them. I cannot forget how was the road travel from Malaysia to Singapore, from the sea, just passing like a bridge to changing the country. Or I don't know how amazing was Korea with modernity or Singapore, but India, I like it so much. And I feel so emotionally about the country because it was like with a lot of contrast in this country. I was staying with my group in like a 5-star luxurious hotel. And just when we were entering to the street, we could see a lot of cultural contrast. We could see poverty. We could see many different things. It was like we are going to another world. The door is opened and you are going to another world. And I think everything in India is like so strong. The spices, the religion, the contrast. It's like so, so colorful and like different things. Or for example, my experience in Turkey and Greece, I feel so comfortable. And I think like it's like I'm near to home somehow. And yeah, just far from the topic of destination, I met a lot of nice people. I mean, my tourists from different countries, mostly Iranians, I was with them. I had like also a very nice Austrian group in Iran that I cannot forget them. Although I remember a lady, her leg just before travel was broken. But she was so nice. She was just following me and she couldn't stop her being curious to continue to see more. Or I remember like a group, I wanted to show them Lenin's memorial in Moscow. And he was 90 years old and I cannot forget how he was running just to saving the time not to miss Lenin's memorial because he was really appreciated to see it. And he already knew why he came to visit Russia. So I also met a lot of nice groups and peoples and destinations.
So I think you already told us some stories about your tours, but working as a tour guide, what challenges did you face?
Actually, being tour guide is like full of challenges because you are like the front line that whatever happens in the tour, you should be responsible for it. Just, I think you should be connected with the service providers, the tourists, the travel agencies, tour operators, locals, and like making a balance between them somehow. Maybe most of the problems is that many travelers and tourists, they don't know why they are traveling or what is their expectation, or they don't read the itinerary. So for example, I had like a funny group. And they came to a cultural tour with me in Russia, in Moscow, St. Petersburg, in Hermitage. Always they were complaining, we don't like to visit here, we don't like to visit here. So imagine in Hermitage, how it's a lot of objects and people like wish to visit it and spending time there. And they told me, what is Hermitage Museum? We want to go to outside, to nature, just eating kebab and that's all. Also suggested them Russian restaurant. I said, no, we don't want it. It's not tasty. We like something like Middle Eastern food. And yeah, it was like so funny. Also, I want to share you one of my stressful tours. Also, I was again in Russia during the World Cup 2018. Imagine like the airplane had delay and they had to go the same day to a stadium for visiting the first match. And they had to get fan ID, they had to exchange money, they were hungry, they had to do check-in in the hotel and the flight was late. So we had to go directly to get their fan ID and going to the stadium. And again, after the stadium, some of them were lost. It was no SIM card, nothing, because we hadn't time to do it for them. And then the hotel was like overbooked. We had to change their hotel and a lot of challenges. And then imagine like in the next city in Kazan, when we arrived, their luggage didn't arrive. It was so, so messy. And I couldn't imagine that Russia, a lot of like advertisement for World Cup is not ready for such a mass of tourism. I remember just in a very, very amazing match of Spain and Iran match, I was wishing to like watch the football for the first time. During the match, I hadn't time to watch the match and I had to go to airport to find their luggage, and their luggage even hadn't labeled that we could recognize it's belonged to who. So I had to go to airport alone and sending the photo to them to find it, because also the day after that, we had to go to Saransk, to another city for the next match. Also in the airport, I met a like former national football player there. And also he missed the previous flight and he was so confused, and I could imagine how important is the match with him. So I came back with him to a stadium and just I showed him the gate, please, you can go from this way. I said, no, I cannot find it. Can you come with me? But it was so far. So he was asking me to run and I was asking him, please, you run. You're a football player. You should run. And it was so funny situation. Finally, he found it. And yeah, I'm still in contact with the former football player, and it was like nice experience.
Okay, it was really fantastic, Farzana. Thanks a lot for sharing. So we will take a short break and come back in a few seconds with the second round of our talks. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the second part of our talk.
Farzana, applying for the Master of World Heritage, how did you find this master and how have you liked it so far? And are you satisfied with your choice?
Actually, first, when I wanted to like study abroad, I wanted to study tourism again. But I was thinking, why not to learn something new and developing my knowledge? And the first program when I was searching was heritage conservation, which was like a dual program with Egypt. And I found it so, so amazing. They're like the syllabus and plus one semester, mandatory semester in Egypt. But unfortunately, because of the political problem, we are not as Iranian nationality, we are not allowed to study the program. So the second option was like World Heritage Studies, which is like similar somehow. I really like it, especially one of the most amazing things is in the program is like cultural diversity that I couldn't imagine in a small town that is part of Germany. It's like has like such an amazing university with like amazing cultural diversity there. Just one is like a bit challenging in the course. It's like it's so vast and it's not clear what's going to happen in the future and where is the exact place for it. Yeah, somehow it's like new major somehow, but totally I'm satisfied and I'm trying to like be adapted to this new major.
Yes, I can totally agree with the diversity. It's just amazing. And that's why we love the study project so much, because we can meet all these amazing people. And also you now. So thanks for that. When moving to Germany, Cottbus, what were your major challenges here?
So yeah, thank you also so much for the invitation for sure. So the main challenge I had was like before moving to Germany, I remember that time when I wanted to apply, I had to wait 18 months. Maybe it's unbelievable. In a like process of visa. I was working that time in Turkey and I was in the list. Finally, like after 18 months, it was my turn finally to go to embassy. So I flew back to Iran for going to embassy. Plans were clear and I was ready to get my visa and coming finally. And then I noticed that I forgot to confirm the email for visa appointment. And then appointment, I said, yeah, go and take the appointment again. I said, oh my God, after 18 months, I don't know where I am. Am I married? Am I have a child? Can I do migration? My IELTS will be expired. What can I do? They said, it's not our problems. And yeah, so, but thankfully I was like lucky and I had like a residence permit also in Turkey. So I applied again from Turkey, but again in Turkey was like a little bit different process. They needed some different documents. So I had to do it again, but it was that time so fast, it was like 1 month. So I flied again to Turkey to do my process. I think when I arrived here, everything was almost clear. I mean, officers or everything, they could speak English well, and the process and everything was so clear for me. Just I remember in the first days, I hadn't internet and it was so confusing. Even I couldn't navigate to where is the like nearest supermarket. And I remember my neighbor suggested me a far supermarket, which is like 2 kilometers far. And like I was going there every 2 weeks. 2 kilometers to go and 2 kilometers back, like 4 kilometers just for going there. I was thinking, oh my God, why they're going so far? Why they don't have supermarket? And just after 2 weeks, I noticed, oh my God, I have like a lot of other supermarkets nearby. But yeah, just internet problem. And it was like totally natural to be in a new country.
After graduation, are you dreaming of getting back into tourism industry, or do you think you will get more involved into the heritage conservation field?
I really like tourism, and yeah, I really like to again do tourism. And one of the things that I like to do, actually my knowledge is mostly about Asian markets. And this time I want to add like some knowledge about German markets, both for inbound and outbound tour. Actually, my German was zero. Now I'm trying to like learn it, and I'm like at the end of B1. And I think not only the language, but also I know like people, culture more better. So I think like the tourism field is necessary to know culture as well. A language is not enough. And yeah, I really like to do tourism, but on the other hand, I like to use my knowledge on the other hand for like heritage field and what I studied and what I learned. I like to find like a balance between heritage and tourism and like something between to use my new degree and my new knowledge.
That sounds like a good plan. Where did you travel since you are in Europe, and what are your favorite destinations?
That's a good question. Actually, because of the pandemic after like first semester, yeah, it was like lockdown started and I couldn't do much travel here in Germany or also in Europe. One of my first travels in Germany was Hamburg, and I really appreciate it. And I'm so thankful from my friend that the friend was like a German friend who I met him 7 years ago or 8 years ago in Iran. And I showed him the city, and this time he invited me for Christmas to visiting Hamburg. And I was so thankful, and it was like super nice experience this time meeting his family, and he showed everything everywhere and was trying to do his best. It was super, super cool experience. I couldn't imagine I can meet him like someone after 8 years in another country. I visited in Germany, Weimar, Bayern, Dresden, not really much, like Nuremberg also. Also outside of Germany, I visited Warsaw in Poland. And Greece, like a road trip to Athens and Peloponnese Island, visiting Sparta, different cities and regions there, like Corinth, Mani, and Mistras there. So yeah, I hope I can do more travel in future.
Thanks a lot for your explanations. This was very interesting. So we will see you in a bit with the third part.
To the third part of our talk, Farzaneh, studying the first semester before the pandemic happened, how was it for you and what activities were you involved in?
Actually, the first semester was really amazing with my friends, like making a lot of parties. They had a lot of cultural events, and in like every cultural events, students from different communities were presenting their culture, and we would coming together and making some parties. Also, but in the other way, I was so confused with a lot of courses. If I would know that one day it's like we have such a pandemic, I would do more parties that time. And it was a very enjoyable time. We could see like friends, classmates, professors in person. Also one of the, it's like a course. I had German course that time. I really liked the teacher. She was super amazing after a lot of difficult courses. For me, the course was really progressive and I was feeling like a relief. I couldn't imagine it's like a difficult language to learn. And I had really good time with my classmates that time.
Are you trying to do your thesis this semester or are you taking courses?
Actually, this semester, I'm trying to get courses and I'm trying to apply for some internship. Yeah, I try to involve in like the course and having some internship, but on the other hand, I think there are like something that's still missing when I see the students from previous years and semesters that they had like UNESCO convention, they already participated, I don't know, once, twice or three times, I don't know. And I feel like something like this is really missing. So I decided to reduce my speed a little bit and getting involved first with the course, and like I hope the pandemic will be over and I can participate in such amazing conferences, programs and internship first.
Yes, I think that's the plan for a lot of people that are in the same position as us, to like just take a look what happens. You worked with the Heritage Volunteers. How did you hear about them? How were your experiences and what was your experience working as a coordinator there?
Yeah, I participated in two of the programs with European Heritage Volunteers, and most of them was about conservation of historical gardens. They had like a representative and they came and talked to us about their program, and also my ex-flatmate. She explained about me, the opportunities there. So I participated in Weimar, for heritage conversation. And the second one was like, as you said, was a coordinator. I participated, my main purpose was to learn techniques and like getting something in hand, instead of like, you know, in university, we learn mostly about theories, research, and I wanted to have something in practice. But not only like technique was for me, it was like so much more for it. For example, in the city of Weimar, I couldn't imagine this small city has a lot of attraction. So I really highly recommend it to others who wants to participate to like such programs. And also the international groups there, also I had like some classmates also from BTU. Also I found many, many other friends from outside of BTU community. So we were actually 24/7 with the others together. We could know the people more than as a classmate or a friend that maybe we could only share a lunch or something. We were almost together, working together, like resting together, eating together. And we could learn many things about others, as well as I feel I could learn somehow myself, how is like my abilities for doing like physical works. Can I want to choose this topic in my future or not? Or how I can do it? It's really useful, and I really liked it. And I think in the future also I will do it.
Talking about the future, are you joining the Heritage Volunteers this year too, or are you sitting this one out?
I like to do it again. Last year it was like in a conservation of historic gardens and in Weimar and Mainstukheim, and next year, this coming year, this summer, I like to do it for another term, like documenting and archiving, also with European Heritage Volunteers, and I'm waiting for their response. Also, I'm looking for other internship and programs with different organizations because I really feel it's so necessary for me.
Farzana, what countries are in your bucket list that you want to see?
Actually, I have a very big list to travel. And I don't know any country that I would say no to visit it. Like, appreciate to visit different cultures and something. And for me, I really like to, after pandemic, visit Europe, because it's one of my purposes to studying in Germany, to have like free travel here. So it's like a chance for me, and I would do it for sure. But in my longer plan, I have planned for visiting Latin America, which I have almost no knowledge, and I didn't read much about it, and I found it so interesting. I found here a lot of good and nice friends from Latin America, from different countries, Peru, Mexico, Colombia, Chile, other countries. And also, I'm so interested to visit middle of Asia. Maybe it's not a popular destination, like Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, which are somehow connected to old Persia and also somehow affected by Russia. And also they have their own culture. They're like independent countries. So they're like somehow so interesting for me. They were like old capitals of Persia or important cities of Persia. As well, also I like to visit almost everywhere, to say, Africa, East of Asia, whatever, everywhere.
Great. So we come to the last question, which we want to know, what is your favorite World Heritage site and why?
I really don't know to select like a special site that I can say I like it the most, because all of them, they're amazing. Just what is in my mind currently is Taj Mahal, that it's like actually the monument. It's so amazing. And also the story of the queen and the king behind it. It's so mysterious and nice, and I like it so much. Also, I really like to visit Egypt and the cultural heritage sites there. And yeah, currently I hadn't the chance, so it's like a dream, and I hope like one day the conflicts of politics will be like a little bit reduced, and some people like us who are really appreciate to travel and not interested in politics can travel there.
Okay, Taj Mahal is the, nobody said that before, so yeah, great choice. Thanks a lot, Farzana, for all your great answers. Yeah, we really enjoyed listening to your story, and thanks for sharing your thoughts and stories with us. It's been a great pleasure to have you. We hope the pandemic gets over soon, that we can see you, and we wish you that you achieve all your plans in future. It was a great pleasure to get to know you a little bit more.
Thank you again from both of you that you spent time to listening to our stories and sharing us. And I think it's really nice to also knowing. Also, I already heard other podcasts, and also it's so nice to see other people's and knowing them more, especially in the pandemic that we don't have much time or situation that we can visit personally people to know them more.
That was a really nice said. Thank you so much, Farzaneh. We really enjoy having these talks with you guys wherever you are right now, and to introduce you to all this wide world, to this wide world and everyone who's listening. And in this context, thanks also to everyone listening right now to us and supporting us along the way. We have had the pleasure to get to see our classmates and get to know them more, and are happy to share all their stories. Thanks for the amazing feedback, and we hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. If you haven't done so, you should also listen to the other podcasts with, for example, Helena, Idil, Kat, or Caitlin. For the next episode, number 23, we will have a chat with Tania Construcci. She's an archaeologist and current World Heritage Studies graduate student in her fourth semester, which has extensive experience in field and museum research, administrative work, translation and editing, and customer service.
If you are also interested in sharing your thoughts and stories with us, please feel free to contact us. You can reach us on Instagram, The World of Heritage, or email. Thanks again for listening, and stay well. Bye.